Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another episode of the show. Today's features Nazareth. He's been a good friend of mine for a long time, and it was cool to get to finally have him on the show, sit down and talk about some of his new original music he's putting out there, his work with Aaron Cam and the One Drops as their official DJ, and you can also pick up his now available poetry book available on Amazon. But do want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located right here in St. Louis, Missouri. Swing over and visit them in the Maplewood area or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. You can use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase of all your favorite all-natural beard oils, beard balms, their junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, the Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. Swing over there, visit them, or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. And even if you don't have a beard, American Rambler's got your back. Check it out for all your grooming needs. And also, big shout out to Heil Sound for their continued support and helping make this show sound great. Shop heilsound.com today and get yourself a brand new microphone. And if you'd like to support this show, a great way to do so would be buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast and visit our merch store. You can pick up a new shirt, tank top, ball cap for the summer. We got the trucker snapbacks in there, all kinds of colors, different sizes, whatever you need. You can find it there, and it's a great way to let everybody know your favorite podcast in town. And of course, if you need me, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail. Any of the socials, whatever it is, I'd love to hear from you. So with all that out of the way, sit back and relax. Enjoy a brand new episode with my buddy Nazareth.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
What's up, everyone? This is Nazareth, the Funky Poetic Diabetic, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Scissors beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beat scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, a hip-hop, jazz, all kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Paper Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Nazareth. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, glad to be here.
This is super cool, man. We've known each other quite a while now.
It's been a while.
That's what's kind of fun about this show. Like, I've known of you, and we've had talks, you know, especially we were coworkers for a while and everything, but, you know, it's really kind of hard to talk because usually it's we bump into each other at a show or something or, you know, and it's just like, but that's what's fun about this for me is I get a chance where we can sit down and quiet and have a nice chat and get to know more about everything that you're up to now. And, I know a little bit of your story. I don't know a whole lot, which is why I was really looking forward to this, kind of sitting and learning a little bit more about you and your music. But I guess you said something earlier about going back home to California. So I guess St. Louis is never was never home, but you've been here for quite a while, right?
Right, right. I've been here almost 11 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. My family is actually from Belleville, so this is home for my family. I was born in San Diego, California, born and raised.
Okay.
So I came back here after my father passed away in 2008, and I moved here in 2009, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the motivator for moving back here then?
To be around my family.
Just be around the family more?
Because I didn't grow up around them. Like, mm-hmm. all my cousins and aunts and uncles, everybody's from Belleville. So, and then there's another part of my family from Lebanon. But, so I didn't get to grow up around any of them. We were in California the whole time. And there was a period of time where we didn't visit for like 22 years.
Whoa.
Yeah, from the time I was 12 to 34, we did not visit. And so...
Huh.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it's but that's got to feel good though to reconnect with everybody and have them close by and stuff. I don't know. We didn't visit, but I remember growing up there was a good chunk where my family gathered a lot on the holidays, you know, like a lot of people do. But for my dad, we had a boat and dad would take us out and like we'd always go like the Ozarks or something, or Table Rock or whatever. And, mm-hmm. He was off, you know, the week for the holidays and stuff too. So we'd go out and little family vacations with just, our immediate family. So there was a lot of the extended family I didn't see very often, except for, you know, something, Christmas or whatever kind of thing. A lot of years where we weren't ever really like that close like that. And, but it's nice to as an adult, really kind of being around, being present a lot more with the family.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy, you know, not seeing somebody since you were 12 and then coming back.
Yeah, right.
You're 34.
Yeah, you're a whole different person.
Oh, man, yeah. And everybody's like, wow. But it's been good.
Yeah. So you also said something earlier before we pressed record about that making several records and stuff. And so I've kind of known you through your more of the DJing and then you also featured as a lyricist with Aaron Kam and the One Drops, where I guess that's probably where we first met was probably a K1D show. And you were telling me that you have several records out there that you've been a part of.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm a poet, so
right.
Back home in San Diego, got into the whole poetry scene and ended up meeting in the music scene. Somehow we like to go to shows like we do here, but I got to meet one of my favorite artists back then. Years ago, back in San Diego, Tim Pacheco, who is actually the producer of my CD, his band Sidecar, and he basically gave me my first chance at performing with the band, and from there I ended up getting, forming my own band. We had our own band for like 6 years. It was called the Los Able Minded Poets. And it was we had three poets, and it was drums, bass, keys, sometimes percussion and guitar, but sometimes horns. But we toured the West Coast doing what we did,
Yeah.
Performing our poetry over live music, it was fun. We won a San Diego Music Award for Best Album 1 year. And then we made two CDs. Yeah, we did two CDs, and then actually did another CD with another band that I was in called Urban Root. It was a band I was in simultaneously with Able Minded Poets. They had actually seen me with the Able Minded Poets, and they asked me to, start doing things with them, and so we ended up doing a little CD, and so that was those are the three band CDs that I've actually been a part of. And then I have three solo CDs where it's just me doing basically what I'm doing on my new CD, doing my poetry over either a live instrumentation or tracks that were made in the studio. So
yeah. So where where did you find that poetry, like, you had a knack for words and stuff? When did, like, did that start pretty young? Like,
well, I started writing in junior high school.
Yeah.
I started writing for girls, man.
Yeah.
It never worked, but but I tried, you know. Yeah. And more so, it wasn't even for me. It was for other people. When they found out that I could write, you know, they were, oh, could you write something for my girl? You know, and I would just write poems for people. I wanted to be an MC, you know, and I was in this little rap group back in junior high, you know, with you know, we had the beatboxer and everything. This is the 80s, man. So it's like we had a beatboxer and we just go battling other crews. It was right. That time, that era, you know. So, but I don't know, writing, being an MC and being a poet, it's like the same thing, but it's kind of different to me. I feel like I have different, you know, I have more room to be creative to me as a poet, you know, but I'm not saying that MCs aren't creative. I just feel like I don't have as strict guidelines. Like, I don't have to be, like, so formulaic all the time. Like, you know, I could just write what I feel and make it flow a little different.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think it's super cool, man. I love, like, what you're doing. And, but, like, I just, I started writing a little bit when I was young, like in about high school. I did a little bit of poetry. I started writing also then for the school paper, doing like journalism, you know, writing that way too. But it's just kind of, it's fun to kind of just tap into something creative like that. Like, and then whatever it is that you know, some people, like I said, it is guitar and, you know, drums or whatever, but just finding that thing, whatever it is that speaks to you to channel your creativity. And
yeah,
so for sure. Yeah, I'm glad you stuck with it. Like, I love your like almost daily updates with your writing. Like, so you're still every day writing all the time. And
yeah, and more so in the last year, you know, after being sick last year, something happened, clicked, you know, and I just felt like I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
But I felt like I've always had a lot to say, but I don't know what's happening. It's just flowing out of me right now, so I'm just going with it.
Right. Sometimes you just gotta keep up, you know, just sort of write as fast as you can. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to get back into it. Like, songwriting is always, like, I'm a giant fan of, you know, and just it's something I've always had a passion for, but never like really try to apply myself. But that's something I talk about a lot, and I'm like, I just need to go and do it, you know, like, just actually sit, put the pen to paper and make it happen. And you know, and but that's like a goal of mine, like a bucket list kind of thing, is to maybe write a song and have somebody perform it. And
yeah,
but I think that would be a lot of fun. So we got some of the older stuff. We're working on some brand new stuff, which that's why we're here today. We kind of wanted to start talking about some of the brand new project you're part of. And I wanted to share a song that, well, I guess it was like the debut for this current project and stuff. But as Nazareth in a song called Still that you put out earlier this year.
Yeah.
And that's currently available wherever you get your digital music at. And but what do you want to tell me around Still? Like, anything come to mind, you think?
It was just, I just wanted to let people know. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, you know.
Right.
So I just feel like I want to be like, you know, I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it at a high level, I believe. You know, I'm just... just from my history of being a poet and then what I did in San Diego, it's different. You know, in San Diego, I was more, you know, we have a lot of open mics. We hosted open mics and stuff. So it was like I was poetry scene and the music scene at the same time. And, you know, in here, it's been different. You know, I'm pretty much strictly the music scene, You know, I tried to get into the poetry scene here when I first moved here, but it just didn't feel the same to me. It was, I didn't feel like I fit in that well, you know, but I feel like I fit in pretty well in the music scene here. And it's, I've got to perform with a lot of people, you know, a lot of, that I never thought I'd ever perform with,
right,
just from doing my poetry, you know, so. But yeah, still is just, like, hey, I'm still here, you know, I'm still doing what I do, and I'm gonna keep doing it.
Yeah.
Still digging, still hitting, still swinging, and them crates. Still digging, still hitting, still swinging, them bows. Still digging, still hitting, still swinging, still spitting, still digging, still hitting. Still swinging, still spitting, prolific, overeducated thug, still spreading love, still radical, rambunctious, ready to release revolutionary rants, daily my mind and the universe expands, absorbing all that I can, still a never-ending work in progress, I still got that able-minded process, still up rocking, pop locking, like hip-hop, never stopping, still repping the West with all the might of this love muscle in my chest, still reaching, never preaching, still not believing, searching for reasons, still mini harmonica, sleep photo and clothespin mafia on mine, still defying the hands of time, old as dirt, young in my heart and mind, still wear my heart on my sleeve, still taking for granted and underappreciated, wondering what I have to do to be more than just a sidekick, still the love bug warrior, earth explorer, lover of life, dreadlock afro knot, still banging that boom bap in the basement, for that real there is no replacement, still not your run of the mill, average everyday wordsmith, verbal vigilante, oral agitator, keeping you greasy like curl activator on your pillow, fish grease in your Folgers coffee can on the stove, or your seasoned cast iron skillet, still doing me to the fullest,
to the fullest,
to the fullest. Still digging, still hitting, still swinging,
digging in them crates.
Still digging, still hitting, still swinging
them bows.
Still digging, still hitting, still swinging
for the fences.
Still digging, still hitting, still swinging,
still spitting.
Still not a fan of those I perceive to be whack. I'm not moved by your gold or platinum plaques. Still deep. Deeper than the sea floor traveled by the mantis. Deeper than the lost ruins of Atlantis. Peace can be ours, we just have to demand it. 9-1-1, I still believe they planned it. The silver-haired bandit in the office pissing off the planet.
He'll be
I still don't understand it. Still speaking out against his kind. Still waiting on some of y'all to open your third eye. Still asking for more than what's given. Still not happy with how we're living. Still searching for that silver lining in every cloud. Still trying to make my pops and family proud. Still writing that ill shit, that real shit.
Make it feel shit.
Think and chill. Slow down a bit. Smell the roses. Put some collie in the air. Still burning flowers in this dab-obsessed world. I still believe Bob Marley is meant to be played on Sundays.
Gospel for the gates.
Still burning Palo Santo, Nob Champa, and Sage. Keeping the demons at bay. No evil in my circumference. It's still a spiritual thing. I can't hang if my vibe ain't right. There's no mistaking it because I still suck at faking it. That's the archer in me. Still a Sagittarius. Still talking ish. Still thinking about all those views on 54th. No stream in sight. Still believe I'm living a blessed life.
A blessed life.
A blessed life.
A blessed life. A blessed life. A blessed life.
Still digging, still hitting, still
digging in them crates.
Still digging, still hitting,
still swinging them bows.
Still digging, still hitting,
still swinging for the fences.
Still digging, still hitting,
still spitting these bones.
Still digging, still hitting,
still digging in them crates.
Still digging, still hitting,
still hitting them bones.
Still digging, still hitting,
still swinging for the fences.
Still digging, still hitting.
Still spitting these bones.
Deeper than the sea floor traveled by the mantis. Deeper than the lost ruins of Atlantis. Peace can be ours, we just have to demand it. 9-1-1, I still believe they planned it.
Y'all know they did that shit.
Yeah, man. I guess you're saying that. Like, I think about how many times people say that crap. You know, like they, oh, you're still doing that music thing. You still do. You know, it's like, but no, that's my life. That's my, you know, it's not yeah. not a thing I'm doing. It's a, you know, it's like, it's a career. You know, I'm trying to make a make this, chase that dream, make that thing happen. So,
well, I don't even, it's just like, I don't think songwriters or poets, musicians, I don't think you ever should stop.
Right.
Like, I don't understand it when people say they do. Why would you ever stop? If that's what you do, why would you ever stop?
Yeah.
You know, even if you're not doing it publicly, you know, you should always be doing it. You know, if I didn't, for the longest time, people didn't know I wrote because I never shared it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd share it with my wife, a few friends, everything. I mean, the One Drops didn't even know that I did poetry for like the first couple of years I was around. Yeah. I was DJing for like a whole year before they even knew I could even do poetry. You know,
I do find that like cool too. Like, I mean, I'm guilty of that as well. Like, I didn't really. Again, I met you as DJing and stuff, and so like I didn't realize there was this other side of you. I mean, we all have multiple sides, so like, which is, but that's kind of the fun, is like when I get to know you, I start learning about these other things that you are great at as well. And so it's one of my favorite things about doing this show too, is just kind of like I see these people in a certain light, but then you realize, oh well, they can also, you know, might be a great guitar player, but they can also you know, whatever, make
maybe a painter.
All kinds
Eric
of different. Yeah, all kinds. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah,
he's an incredible artist. Yeah, man, and he's a great singer and everything. Yeah. Yeah,
but they have, you know, so we all have our things. Maybe we're known for one thing more than the other, but doesn't mean they're not all great. So
yeah,
but I think that's that's one of my favorite parts about doing this and getting to meet everybody. And but you mentioned One Drops. When did that relationship start? How do you link up with those guys and be kind of come be part of the band?
Well, the crazy thing about that is when we did start visiting back home, I was into the reggae scene back home. So when I came here, naturally I was like visiting. I hadn't moved here yet. We were visiting, me and my dad, before he passed, and I was like trying to go out, and you know, I wanted to see some reggae music in the Midwest, you know. And and being in Belleville at the time, people were like, oh, you need to check out the One Drops. You know, the One Drops, the One Drops. And I was like, I never saw them. Everybody was told about them, you know. And but then I think it would be like a year before I moved here. All the stuff happened with my dad passing away, and then me wanting to move back here. And I moved back here, and I actually moved to Highland, Illinois, where Aaron Cam is from.
Yeah.
And so they actually were playing in town. I was like, oh, I get to check out the One Drops finally. But I actually didn't get to see them the first two times they played in town in Highland because I was DJing next door at the same time, so I didn't get to see them. And then that actually, the third time they played in town is when I actually got to go to the show. And I'm the California guy, you know, reggae guy, the Rasta guy, whatever. I got my tam on, my locks all over my tam. Because, you know, I feel like I'm going to a reggae show to me. And, you know, in Cali, that's how, you know, we all the Rastas, all, you know, we all run tams and go to reggae shows, dress for the, you know, the occasion.
Right.
And then I go, I'm in Highland, so that was already a stretch. And then I show up and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm the only guy like this. But the music was really good. I liked it from the jump. I had never heard it. I heard them, so getting to hear them was cool. But I also realized that it's not really a reggae band. They have reggae undertones, of course, but it was just good music. And how I ended up DJing was during set break, they used to just play an iPod.
Right.
And that night, everything they played that came on the iPod, I had on vinyl. And I was like, well, they were outside, and I was talking to, I got to meet Norberg, and I actually got to meet everybody that night, and I actually got to meet Aaron, but I told Norberg that I was like, I have all that stuff on vinyl that you just played, so if you guys ever need a DJ. And then I ended up telling Aaron the same thing, and he was like, yeah, man, you know, maybe one day at a bigger show, you know. And I was like, okay, whatever, you know, no biggie. And then, I started going to shows then. I actually moved from Highland to Belleville, and then I was going to more shows, and I actually went to my first Oyster Bar show.
All right.
And I just kept going to shows. I kept showing up, you know, ended up being a part of the, you know, the crowd there, the the AK1D family. And it actually took about a year. It was Halloween, 2010. Halloween 2010 at Club 111, actually out here in Pontoon Beach. That was the first day I DJed for the One Drops, the first show
nice.
I ever DJed. And then it just grew from there.
Right. You know. Yeah, man. I can't remember exactly how I got introduced. I think it might have just been I bought the record first. I remember there was a, as I really started like getting into the St. Louis music, like I wanted, I need to do some more homework. Like I had these friends more like that I, you know, grew up with, ever started playing original music in town. But I was like, I need to like, so I went back and got all like the Urge albums mm-hmm. and Stir and a lot of these, you know, groups that came before me. And like, you know, I knew of them, but I wasn't like involved. I wasn't able, like I was, you know, wasn't going to Urge shows when they were in the prime kind of thing. But now I've like, of course I've gone to several shows at the pageant. They mm-hmm. still perform regularly and everything. And
oh yeah.
But I think that might have been like when I first picked up like a copy of Grow or something. I remember hearing it, and then I remember knowing like, oh, well, now I can go. And they play Oyster Bar regularly. I run down there. So I remember seeing the show and just blown away and like having a lot of fun there. And just that whole experience of like being in Broadway Oyster Bar and the show and the crowd, everything. And just like,
oh, yeah.
And
Oyster Bar, man.
Yeah. So I was hooked immediately. So like I've been, you know, and been several shows there, which is also funny because then like I end up, you know, kind of networking through meeting with people and everything, and I became friends with Brett over there, and Brett posted online one day needing some help, and I was like, well, all right, I'll do that. And so I started working the door there. I started
did you start before me or after me? Because I know I started there in like, when was that?
I started in 2015.
I was before you.
February 2015, and my first show was a Thursday night with Andy Frasco in the UN, and yeah. Which was insane.
It was
sold out immediately, and it was of course of February, so the walls were still down.
Oh.
And so it was already limited capacity in that sense.
Yeah.
So that, you know, kind of thrown right in, you know, sink or swim kind of thing. Here you go. Here's your first, you know, first show. You get a sold out show and everything. And But that was a wild night. And of course, getting to see Frasco in a small bar, like doing that, like crowd surfing from the stage to the bar, and chugging a bottle of Jameson. And
that's Andy.
Yeah, it was a fun night. And then the Saturday, it was my second shift, and that was Aaron Kame and the One Drop. So like, another sold out show down there, and like it was so it was just kind of cool to you know, since then getting working the door and getting to be around those shows and everything. So
yeah,
so they've been a part of my life for quite a while, and like it's just fun to see that band continue to grow. And just, I mean, it's just exciting to be watching and be a friend with those guys.
Yeah, it's definitely been a great journey.
Yeah. Well, you got, so I wanted to share a song. One of my favorites that you're a part of is a song called Cool That Lion.
Thank you. eyes of the evil one. In the throat of the devil. And in the belly of the bird. You better flow like a river. Flow like a river. Down south away. You better cool and lion. Cool and lion. I say. And in the heart of that wanderer,
heart of a wanderer.
And in the eyes of that evil
eyes
one.
Of the evil
and
one.
In the throat of the devil,
throat of the devil.
And in the belly of that bird,
belly of the bird.
You better flow like a river. Flow like a river. Down south away. You better cool that lion. Cool that lion. They say soul, you could lift the go and save your sister. I said, yeah, yeah. And with the heart of another, don't hurt your brother. With your soul, you could lift the go and save your sister today. Yeah, yeah. You better flow like a river, flow like a river down south away. You better cool. And your heart, yeah, your heart shall prevail. And your heart, yeah, your heart shall prevail.
Oh, no.
Cool that lion. Easy now, Rasta. There are many imposters trying to find a way, lurking. For ways to bring you down, searching. They care not about the warrior within, for we pose a threat to the establishment, to the powers that run this crazy world. We modern day sages of lyrical pages who speak without fear about this whole system built on bottom line basics. The almighty, crisp and clean, no longer green. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all. The same paper we will burn for heat when these walls fall. Maybe then we'll stop dying in these streets. For nothing, over nothing. Still I got nothing but love. For love is the key that will set us free. Cool that lion. We spread wisdom, truth. Coming from our hearts and souls. They keep lying. Keep trying to keep us deaf, dumb, and blind. For they only speak from their deep pockets. So intent being making those pockets deeper. While the lint multiplies in mine. And we find ways to survive. In this land built on contradictions. It seems I see more homeless children. Decaying buildings. Senseless killing. Cemetery filling, less and less willing to do anything for anyone other than self, for anything other than financial wealth. This does nothing for our mental health. Listen.
In the canyon of corruption,
canyon of corruption.
In the eyes of that evil
eyes of the evil one.
In the throat of the devil,
throat of the devil.
And in the belly of the bird,
belly of the bird.
You better flow. Soul, you could lift the go and see your sister. I said, yeah, yeah. And with the heart of another, don't hurt your brother. With your soul, you could lift the go and see your sister today. Yeah, yeah. You better flow like a river, flow like a river down south away. You better cool. Your heart shall prevail. And
your heart, yes, your heart. Your heart shall be dead for your.
Was off the 2015 album and
Feed the Meter.
Yeah, Feed the Meter. Great record. And what am I telling you? Like, just the whole record's so good. Just I like more of the, you know, more reggae stuff that they do. But I also love on that record the a lot more R&B kind of feel to some of the stuff and Aaron and Adam from Funky Butt with some horns in there, in some of the tracks and just
that was great.
Yeah. But Cool That Lion is a great song. I love your verse in there.
Thank you.
You're crisp and clean, not always green dollar bill, y'all.
Yeah.
What was that like getting to? Was that your first time on a track with them, or had you been on previous tracks?
That was the first time made it to the CD, CD. But yeah, and that wasn't even the song that we were gonna do. But it worked. Obviously, a lot of people tell me they love that song. We were gonna do a Black Doctor for that album. But we actually did it in the studio. But I guess it didn't make the cut for the album. And then I was actually in the studio, and they wanted me to do Cool That Lion. I had actually heard about it before. They had talked to me about it. And so I had actually wrote the piece for it and came to the studio and laid it down. And it's actually, the part that everybody hears is only half the poem that I actually wrote for the piece. That's all the time I had. Yeah. So half of it has never been heard, you know. So, but
is that like still in a notebook somewhere?
It is. I couldn't tell you where
right
now, because I actually found it one day, and I was like, "Hey, oh, it's probably upstairs." Now that I think about it, but I was like, "Wow, this is cool." I actually found it. Whole piece.
Do you? Is that your process? Do you write in an actual notebook, or is it more in your phone now? And
now it's my phone, just because of where I'm writing.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I mean, I write a lot of times down here, but if I'm somewhere, you know, it's just easier for me.
Yeah.
To just throw something into my phone. Plus, you can just speak into it these days. You know, technology. So I don't even have to write. I could actually do it while I'm driving if I need to. Just depends when a thought comes to me. If I don't think I'm gonna remember it, you know. A lot of times I do though. So, but yeah. But I do have a lot of notebooks. I still carry a notebook. Sometimes I do just like to write.
Right.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, man. But yeah, that's so. If you don't have those Aaron Cam and the One Drop albums, definitely go pick those up and come out and catch a show when you can. Because there's hopefully we'll get a bunch of good ones coming up this summer as things are coming back around.
Yeah.
But we, speaking of which, we do have a big show that you're a part of, DJing as a Crate to Crate, part of your DJ work. You are featuring over at City Foundry with our friend Cass Haley and Spilly Nelson.
Yeah.
On May 22nd. So.
Yeah, that's going to be a really good show. It's going to be good to see Cass and share the stage with him, you know.
Yeah.
I actually got to give him a Crate to Crate shirt years ago at we were up in Minnesota at Shangri-La. Was it Shangri-La? Yeah, backstage, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got to give him a Crate to Crate shirt back then. And so he's actually been to Mo Roots. So it's been good to see him over the years, and I'm glad to see he's doing really well right now. He's really doing things, big things.
Yeah, definitely, man. I was talking about him the other night because he was a part of the featured in that Lincoln competition. And got to go to the Grammys, and my buddy Gavin was represented also in there. And like, so his name came up the other night, but it was just like a cool thing that he got to be a part of that and stuff. Yeah.
He won, didn't he?
Yeah.
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 So, but yeah, I was just, I was talking to Gavin about his experience with it and like just, you know, getting to meet,
Gavin McDuffie, Basie?
Gavin McNutt, Gavin M is his stage name.
Oh, but, he plays bass, right?
No, he's a guitar player, a guitar? Songwriter. And
oh. Different Gavin,
yeah, different Gavin, yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, he, got to meet that, John, Bestie.
Oh, yeah.
And he got to walk the red carpet of the Grammys and all that stuff. Like, it was quite the experience, and it was really, cool to hear him talk about it, but anyway, so come on out to, City Foundry on May 22nd and, see, Nazareth up there as Crate to Crate.
Yeah.
So you're saying, it's, DJ, what, 618?
DJ 619.
Oh, 619, all right.
San Diego.
Yeah. And that's your, but you said everybody kind of just started.
Everybody just calls me Crate to Crate.
Yeah.
Or Crate.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bother me, that's cool.
Right. So when did, obviously, I'm walking into your house here, and we're, I mean, this is like a total vibe, man. We got, you know, you got really decked out down here in your studio space, and, But walk through, and you got just shelves of records and stuff, like, you know, all this vinyl. And when did all that, was that with Dad part of that? Or who was helping influence that music taste?
Oh, definitely my dad. You know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, man. So, just growing up, listening to a lot of Earth, Wind & Fire and Ohio Players and, you know, the OJs. And then, you know... we had this radio station called the Mighty 690, which exposed me to a lot of other stuff, you know, Cyndi Lauper type stuff, U2, and just like, and I had friends, you know, I went from a 95% predominantly black high school to a 95% predominantly white high school. My best friend, you know, introduced me to like Depeche Mode and all kind of stuff like that, you know, New Order, you know, and I've been exposed to a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then as my music tastes have grown, you know, so I've gotten into a lot of jazz and a lot of down tempo, a lot of, you know, it's a lot of different stuff. So my music collection actually has all that in it,
right?
You know, and so my dad had records. There's some that he's passed down to me. And then, back in like right around the end of high school, we just started getting into trying to DJ again. You know, I tried when I was younger, and my hands hadn't got the feel for it. I always make the needle skip, so I didn't really get into it. I couldn't get into it then. But then I got into it at the end of high school for a while, and then went away from it. And then actually being in the poetry scene in San Diego, we used to get together, a group of us, and we just, there was my friend Jacob Jones. I call him the world's greatest entertainer, because he's amazing. We were in a band together.
Yeah.
He was actually in the Able-Minded Poets for a while, too. But him and his wife at the time, they collected vinyl. And so we went over to their house. They'd always have, you know, their record player, and they'd play these dope records and everything. And I was like, man, I want to get back into that, you know. So started going to the swap meet, you know, started buying records, you know, all the old stuff that I grew up on, like all the, then started getting like Santana records and, you know, all kinds of stuff, like John Coltrane, Miles Davis, and you know, just everything that I thought sounded good to me, that I liked, you know. I got into it. And I got it all on vinyl. And then, you know, with the way the industry is now, vinyl is strong again. Even when it wasn't strong, though, I was buying records. So it's just, I started off buying dollar records. Now, you know, you got to pay full price for good ones now.
Right.
But yeah, so it's just, I got a few thousand.
Sure.
But
I love watching you work. I'm a fan of the art form, you know. I just love you know, some people might not see it, but I just love the thought. You know, there's so much more that goes into it to picking the next song, keeping the party going. You know, it's like it's, and if you, I don't know if people probably don't appreciate it as much until you try to do it, because it's not as easy as it looks sometimes. Even you see some of the greats up there doing it, and it's like, and it they make it look easy, but it's like, and it's tricky trying to pick the next, like the flow, making keeping them flowing together and stuff, making the next song that's gonna be keep the party going. So
yeah, because you can kill a dance floor.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It only takes one song. You kill a dance floor, you can have the vibe going and play the wrong record, and all of a sudden,
yep.
Everybody's like, okay, this is the time I'm going to go get my smoke, and let me go get a drink. Yeah. You know, it was like, I picked the wrong record.
Yeah.
And you got to try to bring it back, you know, but it happens.
Sure.
You know, sometimes you might be on a different vibe. You know, you might be like, oh, this could be so good. And then you put it on, it's like, everybody's like, wow, he killed it.
Yep.
So I'm like, yeah. In my head, it was like, it was the one, but it wasn't.
Sure.
So, you know.
And that it's tricky because, too, like, it could work one time, doesn't mean it's going to work the next time.
Exactly.
You know, so it's constantly evolving, and you never know whether the right mix of people and might click, and next week is not going to work though. So
yeah.
It's an interesting job though, for sure. I've done just a little bit of myself. I actually my sister-in-law's sister got married, and she asked me to DJ her wedding, and I was like, I'm not really done that, but I'll give it a shot. And like, and I she, you know, did her work, giving me like a playlist of some of what she wanted, so I kind of knew where the frame was. But you know, occasionally I throw something in, and like you're saying, like, you feel it stinks when you're like sitting there, like, and you're the, you know, like, dance floor clears out, and you're like, oh well, whoops.
Yeah,
you know, Trent.
Yeah,
but yeah,
you remember it though.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm like,
don't play that one that, right. That time.
Yeah do you have a prized possession in your record collection that doesn't make it out to the shows? Do you have a couple of those that
I have a couple. Definitely have a couple. One that never makes it out is I have an original John Coltrane Love Supreme that doesn't ever go anywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not even here. That's how I how much it doesn't go anywhere. It's put away. I know. And I have some unopened, you know, originals from Prince that will never get opened.
Yeah.
I have copies of them that are open that I play, but other ones, they don't get open. They sit there, you know. Things, though.
Yeah.
Some originals, Santana's, a few things here and there.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I love, I'm quite the vinyl enthusiast myself. I try to buy a bunch, especially my friends, you know, a lot of the, whenever any of my friends put their stuff on vinyl, I'm definitely snag one up. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's definitely, you know, like you're saying, it's coming back. It's been definitely a resurgence in vinyl. But there's a difference, man. It's a whole listening process that a lot of people aren't, you know, don't care or don't know about and never experienced. And
yeah.
But there's something to, you know, definitely dropping the needle and just playing a whole record and a whole side of an album instead of, you know, singles on a playlist and on Spotify and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely different. There's something that happens. You know, it's a different sound for one thing, so it's a different feeling, you know. And I actually hope to put a couple of tracks from this album out on vinyl as a single. Me and my wife have talked about it. And so definitely think that's something we're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trying to talk to the One Drops. They're doing it for years. Like, please, just put something out on vinyl.
Yeah, man.
You know? No. Just so I can play it somewhere when I'm DJing. But, you know, it's just something cool that they should do.
No, yeah, I agree. It'd be only appropriate to have some Nazareth on a vinyl, too. So
oh, yeah.
Let's make that happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about, this is your current single, just released a couple weeks back now, song called Put Your Weight on It, available, again, everywhere you get your digital music at, but this was fun, man. I really liked this one, and it was, what do you want to add around?
Well, me and Sean Rayla produced it.
All right.
We actually made that track right here, and so... I'm really proud of it. When we made it, we were like, wow, you know, because when we get together, it's not like we have anything planned. You know, he comes in and we're like, okay, let's see what we create. And we start with a bass line or drums, and we go from there, you know. And so the vibe of that, the way that one came together, was like magic, you know. I was excited to play it for my wife in the morning because, you know, we'd be down here 2-3 in the morning doing that. And so she got to wake up to that one. And then we've been sitting on it for a while, and we actually sent it to, like I said, my producer Tim in San Diego, and he liked it a lot. And so...
And that was strictly just like the music bed?
Just the music
beat
itself, yeah. Because he actually had put something else over it, just, you know, just because he liked it so much. Some other lyrics that I had done, recorded, you know, that weren't being used anywhere. And so he had put those on it. So actually when I went home last year in June, I was like, let's do that. Let's throw that track on and let me put something real on it, you know, not something you just threw over it. So that's what I did. And that's what we came up with. Put your weight on it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Put your weight on it, put your heart and soul into it. Let your inner light shine till it eclipses the darkness, blinds the heartless. And even if it doesn't, keep shining regardless. Don't let anyone steal your shine. Don't let the negative thoughts infiltrate your mind. You can only control your own, and barely that at times. Life ain't no joke, even though all I can do is laugh to keep from crying and losing my mind, like I'm losing time. Days pass in a blink, moments pass before you can think. Traveling at the speed of life just makes me wanna slow down, bust a U-turn, go back and apply what I've learned on this serpentine highway to nowhere fast. At this speed, I don't know how much longer I can last. Still ain't no quitting me, kicking up dust, screaming obscenities till the reaper gets me, till the mortician fits me in a coffin. I ain't stopping, rebel without a pause, for every cause. I've never written for applause. If they come, it's a blessing. If they don't, I'm not stressing. I'ma keep love spreading, dropping bombs in 2020 and beyond, putting my weight on it, tipping the scales, serving them well till love prevails. For we each make life beautiful in our own way, unless you're mean, because mean people suck. They need to let go of that hate. That dark energy is killing the notion of we, but that's just another fact that they refuse to see. They need to let go of that hate. That dark energy is killing the notion of we, but that's just another fact that they refuse to see. They need to let go of that hate. That dark energy is killing the notion of we. That's just another fact that they refuse to see. I'd be high on that emerald butterfly. Cloud hopping, body rocking, soul shocking. Explore life, stop watching the clock, the calendar. How are you going to be a champion if you aren't even a challenger? Content being stagnant, soon you'll question where the time went. Just as lost as when you started, just more cold hearted. Your lack of growth is agonizing to witness. Your ignorance an insult to my intelligence. I'm dumbfounded, flabbergasted, struggling to get past it. My mind just won't let it go, not trying to hold a grudge. I thought it was all love. To know that I was mistaken, that the whole time they was faking. True color shown, my mind is blown. Some be petty like Richard, blowy as an out of focus picture. Clandestine, far from kind, undercover, far from a brother. I feel like a sucker for calling that person a friend. Letting them in, giving them the benefit of the doubt, knowing what they were all about. Now I'm watching the bridge burn. We all live, but some never learn. Now I'm watching the bridge burn.
Now I'm watching the bridge burn.
We all live, but
we all live, but some never learn.
They need to let That dark energy is killing the notion of we. But that's just another fact that they refuse to see.
Now I'm watching the bridge burn.
But
I'm pleased with it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Is that something? Is that a newer thing for creating the beats like that, or producing tracks, or do you been working at that for a while?
I've been doing it for a while. I didn't do it for a while, not having the capabilities, programs or whatever. But it's something that I had done since way back in the Able Minded Poet days. I actually produced one of the tracks from my first CD, and it's just something I like doing. I've always really been into, to music,
right.
And then being able to make beats, so it's, I wouldn't say I'm the greatest at it, but, I can hold my own.
Right. I was talking about it the other night, too. I used to, years ago, had Fruity Loops on the computer, and mm-hmm. I used to play around with that it's fun, man. Like, it was just, seeing, again, sometimes things work, sometimes they don't, but it was just like whenever you did kind of get something that sounded pretty good, you're like, hey, this is, maybe there's something here. So I wish I was better at it. I would have, maybe years ago, gone to school for more music production and stuff and, pursued that route.
Yeah.
And,
Me too.
Yeah. But I love, people sometimes send me demo stuff or some song ideas to listen to, and my brain just starts firing. I get ideas like maybe cool to do this here or do something, stuff like that. I don't know that they're always the best ideas, but I have ideas, and it would have been fun to be able to execute those more, having a studio and be able to help produce something like that. And
yeah, I started on acid music way back in. What is that? That'd have to be 2000. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way back then, yeah. Started on my friend Stu actually got the program for his computer, and we actually went halves on it. Now that I remember, we went halves on it back, and so he never really got into it, but I would sit there every day, working on acid music, trying to, make beats, and it was harder back then. Because, we didn't have the accessibility like we do now to things. Now the programs come with all these sounds and everything in them, and you can just, if you know how to work a keyboard, you know how to play things, right. You can just play it. Back then, it wasn't that easy. So, but I still had fun. It was harder, but it was fun, and it stuck with me.
Mm-hmm. So you said about half of the album coming out is
produced here.
Yeah,
I produced it here. That track me and Sean did, and then I produced, two of the actual vocal tracks I produced, and then there's five instrumentals that are on the CD too that I produced. So,
all right, yeah, man. So, when are we expecting? Is that sometime? You got a night of fall or
fall is what I'm aiming for,
right?
Everything's done. It's just we're still mastering.
Sure,
got to get that sound right. Trying to be patient, not rush it. So that's why we're just doing singles right now.
Yeah,
I don't know how many singles we're gonna do, but there is another one coming out.
Yeah,
soon. I don't know how soon, but soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I'm excited about that one. I feel like I'm getting more excited with each one because I feel like each one is going to get better.
Sure.
Because that's just the way the album is,
That's probably with anything, though. Everybody's always excited about the new, whatever, the most current thing,
Yeah,
but it's cool that this is finally all coming together and out there readily available for everybody. You mentioned some of the older projects. Are those is that available anywhere?
No, unfortunately not. I have them here on hard drive. I can make you a CD.
Yeah.
but they were done before the whole information age, and it just had never been uploaded really anywhere. There is a few tracks from one of my solo CDs on SoundCloud.
Okay.
It's under Earth Soul Creations. All one word, Earth Soul Creations. It's a CD that me and my old drummer did. We were Element Tokens, what we called ourselves. And we did a whole CD. And that was way back in the day. But
yeah.
It was a good time. And I'm proud of that one. It's, you know, when I look back, it just shows growth to me.
Sure.
When you look at your old work, you know.
I talk about it frequently, like also on this show, like same kind of thing, man. Like I started this show with no real idea what I was doing. I was just a fan of music, and I was like, I had these friends who play. I was like, maybe we could start talking to them, and that's what we did. But like I had one microphone, I had a Blue Yeti USB mic, and so like it wasn't great quality, but it was what we could afford and everything else at the time. So now if I look back, like, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad there was a starting point, but it's like, it also kind of makes me cringe. I'm like, man, excuse me. I've gotten so much better since then, you know, but also it's been 7 years of the show and everything else. Like, you know, it's just, so it's just cool to have the growth documented there, you know, it's like to see where you started and where you're at now. And it's like, you know, so that's all you can hope for is just keep getting better at every time. So.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like the CD is too. It's besides it being a long time coming, this definitely shows my growth as a writer.
Yeah,
you know, as a person, you know, it's about life stuff. So, you know, so
yeah, man. Well, I've been going around town asking some questions and have fun with these. And all right, so we have a Nazareth action figure someday. What would be your accessories? You think that would come with your action figure?
An old school boombox for one thing.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure. Got to have a boombox. Some shell toe Adidas and a backpack with a notepad.
Yeah.
Because you know.
I saw somebody one of the pages I follow on Facebook. It had a big old boombox like that, and I was like. And I think it just said the question on there, like, how many batteries did this thing have? And then it's like,
16.
Yes.
16 Ds.
Yeah, man.
So. And they lasted 3 hours.
Yeah.
You get out good music for 3 hours.
Right.
If you put it on the ground, for sure, it's only 3 hours. You had to put it up on something because the ground would just drain your batteries.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, those boom boxes, man, I remember.
Yeah, 16 D batteries.
Yeah, they'd be like a lie, you know?
Yeah.
You'd have to... like $20 in batteries back in the day. Like 20 D's.
Yeah.
Now it'd be like $50 in batteries now.
Right.
Takes so many. Do they even make D size still?
I don't know. I haven't seen them
in a long time. I haven't seen the D size in forever. They don't even make those anymore.
Right.
Nothing runs on D batteries no more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now that's the thing. All the batteries are like tiny, you know, so it's like, it's just, you know, that's why, I don't know, I think you've mentioned iPod, DJing on an iPod during the, and I think about that, man, it's like, it's just weird to, like, visualize it, like, went from being rooms full of records down to all that information on an in your pocket, you know, and it's like, or now on your phone, you can have literally any song, and it's like, it's just weird to... how much the technology...
home stereo no longer exists.
Yeah, right.
You used to have the home stereo. You'd have your turntable. You'd have your, you know, your tuner. Your dual cassette, and it'd be a stack. You'd have your tall speakers right there, and you'd have your collection. And you'd have, you know, then you had your 1,000 CDs when CDs were the big thing.
Yeah,
you know, but you always had some type of system. Now your system is like you just got one speaker that you don't even pull out unless you want to hook it up to your phone.
Right.
You know, most of the time, you know, the home stereo doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, the technology is definitely evolving, you know, so fast.
I think about that all the time. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's also why I have the old school boxes over there.
There you go. Yeah, man.
Got to collect them.
Got to represent.
Yeah.
All right. What's a song that always gets stuck in your head?
Wow.
Or maybe the most current song that's been stuck in your head.
A song that always gets stuck in my head. Wow.
Anything come to mind?
That's crazy. Oh. off the top of my head, I'd have to say the song that gets stuck in my head right now, it's because I listen to music, I work all the time, would be, you're going to laugh, Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Oh, great song, man. Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
That's a good one to get stuck in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What about the day comes we have a Nazareth biopic? Who would you like to see cast to play you in the movie version?
Oh, to play me?
Yeah. You ever get, you look like anybody? Or?
Wow. Yeah, I get told that I look like, oh, I used to get told I look like him. I don't know if I look like him anymore, but MC Supernatural.
Yeah.
I actually, crazy story. I was actually with at some function, and a guy that actually knows Supernatural came up to me and was talking to me like I was Supernatural and everything. Like, oh, what's up, man? I didn't know you was going to be here. So good to see you and everything. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, you too. I thought he knew who I was, you know, but no, he thought I was Supernatural. And I was like, at the time, I was bigger and everything. A lot of people used to say I look like Supernatural. I was like, you know, he's a dope MC,
but
I never thought I really looked like him. But that was crazy that the guy actually knew Supernatural and thought I was Supernatural. I was like, wow, the lighting must be really bad in here or something. Cause like, and then went on for a while until he realized I wasn't him. And he was like, oh, man, my bad.
Yeah.
I was like, that's crazy. I was like, yeah, no worries. But you do know who I am, right? And we actually know each other.
Yeah.
He just, for some reason, he thought I was somebody else that night.
Yeah. That's funny. I don't know if I know Supernatural.
Oh, check him out. LMC, freestyle, like, king.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He can go forever.
Nice. Yeah. I was wondering about that. Would you want to do a live reading, or do you freestyle at all? Or is it mostly just written?
It's both.
Yeah. I didn't know if you would want to maybe do something live on the show today. I was thinking about that earlier.
Since I don't have anything really.
Not to put you on a spot.
Nah, I always got something.
Yeah.
But this would be interesting.
Yeah.
And actually, well, I'm saying I'm going to plug the book that I'm putting out called Words, Pandemic Prose, because this is like pandemic prose. Pandemic prose, spontaneous flows, soul composed, hair grease for your cornrows, lubrication for the brain rust, don't know why we fight and fuss, and each other we no longer trust, ignorance is just a crutch, those living in fear clutch, feel the rush, when I spontaneously combust, I always fight for us, till I'm dust, shining in the sun, as I float on the wind, pollinating the next generation, plant, fertilize, water, grow. Teach them how to be stable, that life exists beyond the internet and cable, to twist away from the table, don't get caught up in historic fables, labels are cool but they don't make you, when you think for yourself, there will be some that hate you, teach them to be respectful and kind, to expand their minds, that knowledge is infinite, and theirs for the taking, future kings and queens in the making, it's tomorrow's tomorrow we're shaping, guide and mold, tell them what we were told when our parents used to scold. Don't be in the rush to get old. Enjoy every millisecond of being young. That when it's gone, it's gone. But life still moves forward with each dawn. Forwards ever, till we find better freedom forever.
Yeah, man. Very cool. Shout out to, man, that was awesome. I don't know. You do have the book coming. You said, we'll be, hopefully we'll, I just think that'd be really neat to have it, especially your name, your picture, your produced, published, author and stuff, officially make it all come together. And, but you said it's going to be a part of a package with the album and stuff too, maybe?
Yeah, we're going to try to do, the book and the album and actually shirts that, come with, this saying that I have for a poet, which is a prolific overeducated thug. And it's something my wife's been working on since I came up with that. She actually had a prototype of a shirt made for my birthday. And we're going to go with that and try to get it all, you know, together as a bundle.
Nice. Yeah, man. Very cool. Well, sign me up. I'll definitely get me one of them.
Yeah.
So I got to thinking too. Another question I like to ask: what would be a dream duet or collaboration you'd like to see, like for yourself?
Oh, for myself?
Yeah. Who's somebody you?
Oh, I would love to do a song with so far fit Black Dot from the Roots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's one of my favorite MCs for sure. He's amazing. And I love the Roots, so
yeah,
that would be just something fun to do.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing, actually.
I really like. I'm sure they would love it too, because like they seem like they're fans. They did the Seed. Gil Scott,
Cody Chestnut, and then they did Gil Scott.
They're fans of poets also. So
oh yeah, for sure.
And they've tried to do their part to. Shine a light on some of their favorites. So, that'd be incredible, man, to get to hang with those guys for the getting to make some happen with the Roots.
Oh yeah, that would be.
Yeah. And it's cool that you get to see those guys every night on the Tonight Show and stuff now. So,
yeah.
But they one of my favorites for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What about? What about a song you wish you wrote? Is there a certain one that comes to mind?
Not really.
Yeah.
I don't think about it like that really. It's never really a whole song. Sometimes I hear lines.
Yeah.
In songs that I'd be like, oh, why not come up with that? Can't do it anywhere. It's like, and there are times when I actually have come up with the line, but nobody knows who I am. So I hear somebody else say, and I'm like, oh man, I said that.
Yeah.
But it happens.
Sure.
And I actually don't have one. I can't think of one right now, but it happens to me. I'd be like, man, that was a really great line.
Yeah.
And I wish I came up with that.
There's a writer, John Moreland, I'm a big fan of, and he, a lot of times I like more of the storytelling and songs, but his writing is a lot more, it's just like some of them like go together better but some of them times he just has these great lines, and they're like, every one of them is just like, man, what a line, just great. But there's one that always stands out to me when I think about, and he has a song called Blues in Kudzu, and there's a line in there, he says about a choir of cicadas and box fans, and I'm like, man, wow. That's like the most country shit I've ever heard.
Yeah, a choir of cicadas and box fans.
And I'm like,
wow, I love that.
It just kind of paints the picture perfectly of those country nights and stuff. So like my childhood growing up. I was like, we all definitely cicadas and box fans around. Yeah. So
that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, but I don't know. That would just always kind of stood out to me. But I'm with you. Like, there's always those. Ones they're like, man, I wish I would have thought of that one.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Well, you can get plugged in. Crate to Crate Sound System on your Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a good way to get you? Do you share all the Nazareth music on there as well?
Yeah, I do.
It's all.
I try to. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that there. That's pretty much the only place, besides Facebook.
Right.
But yeah.
And so you can get plugged in on the socials. Again, you can find Nazareth and these new songs wherever you're getting your music at. Said...
And the new album is The Funky Poetic Diabetic. So,
yeah. Love that title.
Well, it's coming off the famous Fife from Tribe Called Quest line.
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard a funky diabetic? So... I am the funky poetic diabetic.
And you said we have a new new single coming real soon.
For sure.
Yeah,
it's called Walk With Me.
Yeah,
and it's with Rai's Music at a Fallbrook, California, San Diego County, and really excited for it and can't wait for everyone to hear it.
Yeah, man. Thank you for doing this today, man. This was a ton of fun. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you coming out and doing it. It's great.
Absolutely, man. It's been a long time coming. I'm put it in your ear a couple of years ago, just come on and let's talk about records or whatever. But now we could talk about your record. So that's what it's even cooler, man. So
yeah.
So thank you. Appreciate you, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's next, man. So
for sure.
Right on. Well, thanks everybody. Bye.
Peace.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.